Evil is real, it's horrible, and sometimes it's sitting on the doorstep. For the listener who has been grievously wronged by an employer, who is on the brink of a divorce, or who is about to lose his or her home, how can the truth of God's sovereignty over sin make a difference today in the middle of the trial? With all due respect, Dr. Piper, how does all this talk about the grandeur and glory of God heal a bruised heart? It's only a part of the healing that God brings. God is more than grand. He is more than steel. He's more than sovereign. He's sovereign, grand, steel, kind, tender, warm, generous, patient, loving, meek. He is all those things, and Jesus is the best display of him. He drives people out of the temple with a whip, and he says the most vicious things into the lives of Pharisees, you whitewashed tombs. And I think he says to the leper, be clean. And he holds little children in his lap and he blesses them. And he says to the woman, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you either. And he says to Peter, feed my sheep. I know you love me. I'm taking you back after your denials. My point is, the question, how does all this talk about grandeur and the glory of God heal a bruised heart, is that it's part of the healing. So let me just go there, not to exclude, but to say, I want the whole Christ to be known. I want the whole God to be known. The way it heals is that when you are broken, divorced, lose your house, lose your job, lose your health, there are seasons when all you feel you need is somebody to hold you up and keep you from sinking, and that's tender and kind. But there are other moments when other kinds of questions arise about how could God do this, or how could this possibly work together for my good, or a bunch of other how and why questions. And frankly, I think if we don't give answers to those questions for people, they will stuff those questions, and in the end, there will be a kind of internal atheism that will start to grow like a canker, and they won't even know what's happening until it comes out in all kinds of weird theology or rejection of Christ entirely. In other words, the big picture of God has an essential role in the healing of our wounds. For example, we've got folks in our church who have disabled kids, blind kids, kids who will never have a mind beyond 6 months old, kids who don't have the full use of their arms and legs, kids that are sweet as Down syndrome kids, and they're all over the map. Now, what I'm finding as I try to pastor these folks is that they definitely need you to come alongside them, stand by them, help them, serve them, love them, understand them, get inside their skin. Amen. But oh, they need more. And they would tell you this. If they were sitting where I'm sitting, they would say, this theology that God is sovereign and God is great and God is wise and God makes no mistakes is huge. It's huge in the self-understanding of the disabled child. And it's huge in the hope of the parents that they can endure a lifetime of support. The way it affects the children is, God created me, and I'm not a throwaway. God loves me like this. He made me like this. I have a purpose like this. I will find it, and I will bless. That's the way Johnny Erickson Tata thinks. That's the way Krista in our church thinks. I'm not a mistake. He didn't drop the ball when I was born. I have a meaning. I'll be whole someday in the full sense that you regard wholeness. And in the meantime, my brokenness is part of my meaning. And I'll find it and I'll live it for God's sake. And then the parents who for years and years and years have their whole lives turned upside down. The baby born that they never expected, everything changes Where are they getting strength for that? Where are they getting confidence that this can be worked for good day after day after day and forever, year after year after year? No way will it work to say, God had nothing to do with this. God's wringing his hands. God doesn't produce any of this. That is not comforting. It absolutely is not comforting. And so, how does this God, majestic and grand and glorious, heal a bruised heart? Part of his grandness, part of his majesty, is that he's both strong and tender. He's both affectionate and massively powerful. And both are essential to his glory. Both are essential to his grandeur. And if we don't build both into the life of our people, we will set them up for a terrible fall.